Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
They're actually talking about the real possibility, at least of making it through both houses of the Congress with a bill that would actually ban abortions later than 20 weeks into pregnancy. Now, if this were to actually happen, and that's a big if this were to actually happen, it would probably go down in history as the biggest blow against Roe v. Wade or abortion on demand that is now legal, of course, through all three trimesters and even beyond. It would be the biggest blow against that. And it may actually at least come up to a vote on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade coming up here in just about a week in January. We're going to be talking about a GOP's proposed 20-week ban on abortion. Carol Tobias will be our guest here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in on this Monday afternoon, January the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit later, after our conversation with Carol Tobias of National Right to Life, Leon Pottles will join us. We're going to start some open lines with a question, actually a series of questions that I have for you. Cardinal Raymond Burke was recently interviewed, and he talked about what he called the man crisis in the church. Now, he speaks from a Roman Catholic perspective, but of course, what he observes there in Roman Catholic circles is just as true in Protestant and other circles as well. That is, on Sunday morning, the people sitting in the pews are predominantly female. Not exclusively, but predominantly female, and it's a trend that actually not only goes back to feminism, but even before. We'll do a little open lines. We'll talk with Dr. Leon Pottles, author of the book, The Church Impotent, The Feminization of Christianity, get his thoughts on Cardinal Burke's comments recently in that interview. And then I've got questions for you during open lines. Why is church attendance disproportionately female? Why, when you go to church on Sunday morning, there are more women than men? And if the trends are to be believed, less and less men with each passing decade, have the participation of girls and women in worship had the tendency to add to what Cardinal Burke calls the man crisis? Has rampant liturgical experimentation, that is changing virtually everything about Sunday morning, has it feminized the church and has it feminized Sunday morning? We're going to be entertaining all those questions during open lines a little bit later. By the way, you can join us with questions or comments for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line anytime you like, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. In the last half hour of the program, Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Calling Philip and Nathaniel in John chapter 1. Joining us to talk about a proposed bill for later this month of a 20-week ban on abortion, Carol Tobias. She's president of National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C., and a regular guest. Carol, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
What has changed in Washington that this is now a real possibility, at least, of getting through the legislature with this bill?
What changed was the Senate turning over to pro-life Republican hands after the November election. The bill that is being discussed is the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which would say that once an unborn child can feel pain, which is at roughly 20 weeks after fertilization, the abortion would not be allowed. The House of Representatives actually did pass this bill 2 years ago, but nothing happened in the Senate because Harry Reid was blocking it and was not going to let it come to a vote. We now have Mitch McConnell as the majority leader, and he told our convention last summer that he thought the U.S. should join the rest of the civilized world in protecting babies who can feel pain. So we certainly expect the Senate to vote on the bill sometime in the coming months.
So the House is going to look at it late in January, hopefully in conjunction with the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and then it'll go on to the Senate. It has a harder trek there. Does it have a real possibility of getting a 60-vote majority in the Senate that would be required to overturn a presidential veto, which is virtually inevitable?
You're right. The veto is inevitable. President Obama has not supported or voiced any kind of support for any pro-life measure in any way. So the veto is inevitable. We don't know if we're going to have the votes in the Senate or not. We will to pass it, but not whether or not we can override a veto, we don't know. About two-thirds, 67% of the people in this country support this type of legislation. So if the senators would represent their constituents, we would have the votes. But I guess we won't know until it gets closer to time and we start seeing which senators are going which way.
Now, how would you respond dealing with the issue of fetal pain? How would you respond? I was reading the story in Politico that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have issued a statement saying that there's no legitimate scientific information supporting the idea that a fetus feels pain at 20 weeks.
Well, the official OBGYN organization in the country has taken a stand in support of abortion. I'm not aware of any pro-life regulation that they would support in any way. So it's not a surprise that they would come out and try to defeat pro-life legislation. But there is enough scientific evidence that the baby's brain, the nervous system, is all in place by 20 weeks after fertilization, that the receptors are there. They can feel pain.
A couple of the things I'd like you to respond to. The president of the National Organization for Women, Terry O'Neill, said recently that this is amounting, if this were to pass, it would amount to overturning Roe v. Wade, period. And she went on to say, if you say viability, that's the time when the fetus can live independently outside the womb. That's 24 to 26 weeks, she says, but most people don't know that. So when you say, oh, you want to ban abortion at 20 weeks, people go, yeah, that's really late. No, it's not. And most people don't know it's not late. What's she saying there, and how do you respond?
Well, Terry O'Neill, as head of the National Organization for Women, does not support any limits whatsoever on abortion. She thinks it should be allowed for any reason, for all 9 months of pregnancy. She would like the federal government and the state governments to be paying for it. So she is not going to support any type of limit. The Supreme Court held in the partial birth abortion ban that the states and Congress can ban certain types of abortions. We think there is a majority on the court that would say once an unborn child can feel pain, you cannot kill that child. It's kind of the same thing. Terry O'Neill is saying is basically trying to scare her supporters into opposing this by thinking, you know what, if you pass this bill, Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned and abortion will be illegal. Now, that would be a dream come true for me, but it's not going to happen. The Supreme Court might strike down parts of Roe and say the states can start placing more limits on abortion, or maybe Congress could start placing some limits on abortion, but it's not going to make abortion illegal, unfortunately.
Representative Rosa DeLauro, a Democrat of Connecticut, has criticized the proposed bill here, said that the role of Congress should not be to deny women a medical procedure that they have decided with their physician is the right course of action. What Congress should be doing is making sure every day to reduce the unintended pregnancies and keep women healthy. That's a very common false dichotomy often laid out by pro-abortion forces. How do you respond to it?
Well, I think what Rosa DeLauro is trying to get at is that Congress should be paying for every woman's birth control pills. That's been their argument. They're trying to confuse the public that, one is the same as the other. Preventing pregnancy is certainly not the same as killing a child after the pregnancy has begun. They're trying to find ways to fight this legislation that has a lot of popular support. the people support it. And actually, National Right to Life put together model legislation. Nebraska was the first state to pass it. 10 other states have now passed our model bill. The pro-abortion groups are not opposing it. They're not taking it to court because they don't want to give the Supreme Court an opportunity to uphold this and maybe start putting some cracks in the original Roe v. Wade decision. So what we're seeing from Terry O'Neill and Rosa DeLauro is an attempt to get their people excited and generated, to fight this legislation. But when it comes right down to it, they're not going to challenge it in the courts because they don't want the Supreme Court to hear it.
Okay, so they're fearful that it could be upheld. They believe it's a possibility that what I would consider, and I'm sure you would agree, Carol, is a very modest restriction on Roe v. Wade would actually be upheld by even this court.
I think they are concerned. That's why they are not taking these cases to the Supreme Court. Some of the case laws have been challenged on, some technicalities, and they've gone into a lower court, and they're just kind of sitting there because the other side, the pro-aborts are not pushing the legislation. If this bill is upheld, it would not ban abortions. It would prevent the abortion on children who can feel pain. But yes, I mean, the overwhelming majority of abortions are performed on babies before this stage. But it gives the American public an opportunity to look at abortion as, this being an unborn child whose life is being ended. It's an educational piece. It is a great tool to find out, more pro-life people, bring them in. If they think that it's wrong to kill babies who can feel pain, then maybe they're also going to think it's wrong to kill babies who have a heartbeat or who have, brain waves. We're trying to use this as an educational tool as well as saving the lives of those children, at least, that have reached that stage of pregnancy.
Two quick final questions, and this is not so much for you, but for you kind of respond on the part of pro-life legislators. Someone would say, and how would you respond to them? Look, this is just politics. This is a bunch of kind of some sincerely, some not so sincerely pro-life Republicans are trying to gain party unity. That's the spin in the Politico ad. And what they're really trying to do is lay a platform for whoever's going to run for president in 2016. This isn't about passing a law. This is just about getting ready for somebody to run for president.
Quite frankly, there are going to be a lot of different points of view. Some people, elected officials are very dedicated to protecting unborn children, and they will do anything they can. So they think, this bill is a good step. It's not the final by any means, but it's a step. Others might think, okay, well, if this is something that can bring the party together and we can all agree on this portion of the abortion issue, that's fine. I, quite frankly, don't care what their reasoning is. If we can save lives, if we can pass this legislation, if it will help to elect more pro-life candidates so that we can pass more pro-life laws, I'm willing to whatever reason. If someone would say, hey, I'm pro-abortion, but I think it's wrong to kill babies who can feel pain, I want their vote. So I don't care what reason is being used. I shouldn't say I don't care, but there's a bigger end picture here. We need to save these lives.
Finally, if someone votes against this bill or a bill that would ban abortion at 20 weeks, doesn't it really demonstrate who the real extremists on this issue are?
Oh, absolutely. There is a very small segment of this population that would say abortion should be performed, even in the later weeks of pregnancy, later months of pregnancy. So someone who is willing to sign their name voting to keep this bill from becoming law is in the very extreme minority in this country. And, I will certainly do whatever I can to make sure that those constituents know how he or she, their senator or their congressman voted on this bill.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You can meet and hear Carol and other pro-life leaders like Robert George, Pastor Matt Harrison, and Molly Ziegler-Hemingway at the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January the 22nd through the 24th in Washington, D.C. For more information on the on this conference, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at our website, issuesetc.org. Carol, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to start a little open lines for you. I want you to be thinking about these questions when it comes to you walk into church on Sunday morning and you notice that most of the people there are women. Now, it's not that churches should be one way or the other when it comes to the balance of the sexes, but everyone who's been watching attendance on Sunday morning can tell you that whether it's a Catholic church, a Lutheran church, a Protestant church, an evangelical church, it's disproportionately women on Sunday morning, and some people fear for the feminization of the church. In fact, recently, Cardinal Raymond Burke was interviewed, and he talked about what he called the man crisis in the church. What has caused this? Why is church attendance disproportionately female? Have the inclusion of female worship assistants, girl acolytes, things like that from the Roman Catholic perspective, even altar girls as opposed to altar boys, has it contributed to the man crisis? And what about rampant liturgical experimentation, as Cardinal Burke calls it in his interview? Has that also feminized the church? I want you to think about those questions. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Leon Pottle, senior editor at Touchstone Magazine, Journal of Mere Christianity, and author of the book, The Church Impotent, The Feminization of Christianity. Then we're going to open the lines for your questions, your comments, and your answers to those questions. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. And when we come back, it'll be open lines on the feminization of the church.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 7 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues, Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2015.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.